Today we'll be in chapter 16. Hopefully we can wrap this book up and move on later on in a couple weeks. I'll begin by reading first. Chapter 16 of Romans, verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. For she has been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amphilius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus. Sound good, didn't it? Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that are of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Philegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus, and Julia, and Nerissus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Excuse me. And by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad to all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my fellow worker, and Lucius, and Jasus, and so Sipater, my kinsman, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. And Gaius, my host, and of the whole church, salutes you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, salutes you, and Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now let's go back and see what we got.
There's been a whole lot somehow they said, you know, special kiss to all the dudes out there.
It could have been. It could have been. It would have been a lot easier to say, wouldn't it? And
I love you all, man.
Love you, man. There you go.
Dude. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Well, when he said, I commend you, that's not really a good word to understand what he did. The word should be introduce. I want to introduce to you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant, okay? Her name actually means radiant. And she was a servant, that's the word diakonos, which means servant, of the church which is in Cenchrea. Cenchrea literally means millet, which was a grain used to feed the poor people. So what was the church for?
The poor.
The rich have their rewards, don't they? And I'm not talking you can't have money and be a godly person, but most people get caught up in their wealth and it becomes their God, doesn't it? Okay. And he said, in order that, he said, I'm introducing her to you, in order that you receive her or accept, the word really should say accept, accept her in the Lord as become a saint or is appropriate for saints, okay? That you assist or stand by her or aid her in whatever business she has need of you, because she has been a succor. Do you know what that word means? Okay. What did you say, Lisa?
Helper.
A helper. What did you say?
A generator.
Okay. Well, there's meanings of all of that in this word. I'll show you what the meaning of this word technically is. She's a woman set over others, caring for others' affairs by her own resources. More so than just set over somebody and helping somebody, but she's doing it with her own resources. So she's putting herself into it, isn't she? She's just not saying, hey, I'm a good person, I go to church. She's putting herself into it, isn't she?
A servant. A true servant.
She's a true servant because she's giving of what she has to the poor and helping everybody. No one told her to do that. See, she gave that from inside. And she said she was that for many and of myself also. So Paul's saying she gave to me as much as anybody else. He said, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla, literally, the name means ancient, and Aquila means eagle. My helpers in Christ. All these names have secondary meanings, and I really don't, I've never pushed into that to try to see there's a message through all this, and there probably is. Haven't done it, and God hasn't pushed me to do it. So that's the reason. But we're just going to briefly go over them. And actually, the second half of this chapter is where the meat is. He said, who have laid down for my life, and the word life here is psuche. And a lot of people say soul or spirit, either one. It actually says spirit first. But who have laid down for my life, for my spirit, or let me say again, who have for my spirit or soul laid down their own necks, and that word there should literally be their own life. Okay? To whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. All the churches of the Gentiles. Now, what does the word church come from? Ecclesia, which is what? The called out. And so, is it really talking about a church organization, or is it talking about the people?
People.
He said, all the Gentiles that have been called, thank you. That's what he's really saying. See, a church organization can't do anything for you, can they?
No.
I'm in the flesh.
See? So, that's religion. So, but also all the called out of the Gentiles. They're all saying thanks. Likewise, greet or salute the church or the called out that is in their home. The ones in their home. See, everybody say, they had a church in their house. That's not what he's talking about. In every household, there's sometimes there's two from a house, one from a city, whatever, right? Everybody in the household ain't called, are they?
No.
See? But the church, because of the way religion points at, makes it like a church organization that they have in their house. That's not what he's talking about. It's about the ones that's called.
There's where they misunderstand that first fruit principle.
Sure they do.
They've also got that salute or greet. It's like just to welcome them.
Sure, absolutely.
Welcome
them in with love. Okay. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute. Or to greet my well-beloved Epaphroditus. Okay, his name literally means praised. Who is the first fruit of Achaia? Achaia is literally Asia. Okay? He's the first fruit out of Asia to Christ. So he was the first one out of Paul's trip to Asia to come to Christ.
Which actually turned on him later. Right?
I don't know that.
Asia turned on him.
Asia did, but not this guy. Yeah. All of Asia turned against him, yes, but not this guy. He says, greet Mary, which is literally Miriam, but her name means what?
Victoria.
Rebellion.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at another one. I got a long name.
Yeah. Rebellion. Who bestowed much labor to us, not on us, but to us. Salute Andronicus, which literally means the man of victory, and Junia, which speaks of being youthful, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. He's saying they came to a revelation of Christ before I did. Paul wasn't the first one to come around, was he?
No.
He was just the one God chose. He was the one God chose to carry this revelation of the New Testament. Revelation, actually, of the Old Testament into the New Covenant. Greet Amphilius, my beloved in the Lord. And that word Amphilius means large or enlarged. And you know, whenever you come to God, you are what? When you start understanding who you really are, remembering what God has invested in you from the very beginning, that's awesome.
When he discloses the truth, then that enlarges you.
It definitely enlarges you. Salute Urbane, which means courteous or polite, our helper in Christ. And Statius, my beloved. Now, Statius means a head of grain. Well, what would that mean to you spiritually? A head of grain. There you go. You're thinking. See? He was a head of grain. Grain speaks of the word. See? So he has a mind of Christ. Good stuff in there. Like I say, you can sit there and break us all down, but that's not where I'm being pushed to at this time. So, but we just talk about parts of it. Verse 10 says, salute Apelles. And Apelles means called, approved in Christ. He's approved in Christ. That means he's been showing something. Salute them which are from Aristobulus' household. And his name, Aristobulus, I guess that's what it says. Anyway, his name means the best counselor, the best counselor. So would you say that was the Spirit of God in him giving counsel?
Yep.
Wasn't Jesus' name, they said his name would be Counselor, Mighty God, all that, you know, in Isaiah? Yeah. Salute Hadrodion, and his name means the son of Juno, heroic. He said, my kinsmen, greet them that be of the household of Narcissus. This is a good one. Stupidity. A narcissistic person is what? So he's telling you, what's he telling you? What's he really telling you in this part? Everybody.
This is all the characteristics.
Yeah. Everything.
The ego,
yeah,
is stupid.
He said, accept them all. You know, just because they're different from you doesn't mean God doesn't choose to use them. See, we got to accept all the different, unique ways that God expresses himself through humanity. Which are in the Lord. Okay. Salute Tryphena. And let me see that one. That means delicate. Okay, we could see that as effeminate, maybe. And Tryphosa, which is thrice shining or three times shining. That might talk about somebody going to the third level, huh? Tabernacles, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which means cut the one that cuts and divides, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus. Rufus actually means red, or speaking of the Adamic way, chosen in the Lord and his mother in mine. Salute Syncretus, which means incomparable. Phlegon means burning or changed. Anything burnt really and destroyed, but it's what?
Changed.
It's changed. So he was changed. Hermas, which is means mercury. Petrobus speaks of the father of life. Hermes is the messenger of the gods. and the brethren that are with them. Salute Philologus, which is the lover of the word, a talkative person, fond of words, argumentative or talkative. And Julia, the soft-haired one. Nereus, it's a newly tilled land. Now, what is a newly tilled land like?
I'd say it's like a new
conquer. Absolutely is what it is. When you newly till ground, and we're the ground, and when God begins to break up that fallow ground, the first thing you do on the first time when you plow, you have big clumps and clods, and it's not a very good soil to work with yet, is it? It's got to be tilled and broken up to where it's a good place to plant seed and to harvest from, doesn't it?
Ready to receive.
Ready to receive, then.
Is that Nereus or whatever your name is?
Yes. Yes. Nereus.
However
it's pronounced. They said it talks about newly tilled land, which speaks of clods and lumps and stuff like that. You know, it's not broken up yet. It's inexperienced yet, immature. Maybe a brephos.
Ready for the seed to be planted.
Yep. An Olympus, which speaks of heavenly, and all the saints that are with them. So who did he tell you to reject?
None.
Hang on. Salute one another in holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you.
That's intimacy.
Sure, it's intimacy. It's not just saying hi, bye, thank you, never see you again, you know. Having a relationship. 17 goes on to say, now I beseech you, brethren, to mark. I don't mean take a marker, a magic marker, and go write X's on everybody that he's talking about here. The word literally means to observe or to keep an eye on. Okay, observe people are the ones that cause division or dissensions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which you have learned, and the word avoid them literally is to shun or to separate from them. I want to read you a verse in Proverbs chapter 6. Okay, 6, let me read this to you. Verse 16. These 6 things does the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination to him. Imagine that. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises, or a mind that devises wicked imaginations or plans or intentions, feet that be swift to running to mischief, that's lifestyles that run to evil, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord or spreads strife among the brethren.
Where was that one at?
Proverbs 6, 16 through 19.
I just couldn't remember where it was at.
Yeah.
On that, whenever he was reading that, I was thinking of something where it says these 6 things. You know,
that's it right there.
Yeah, 6 things.
Mm-hmm.
But is the 7th thing all those things that he listed?
Uh-huh. There's another place in Proverbs that says these 6 things, something about the Lord, and the 7th is something like that.
But what I'm saying is, isn't that what you just read?
Well, 6 things are, these 6 things the Lord does hate, yea, 7 are an abomination to him. So it's the proud eyes, the lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, the mind that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness, there's 6, and 7 is he that spreads discord.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm seeing that. There's 7 there.
Well, I was just thinking, what's he waiting on all of those? Is the 7th?
No, the 7th was he that sows discord among the brethren. Yeah. So they bring divisions or dissensions among the brethren, you know. And, you know, there's nothing wrong. When we come in here to speak, there's nothing wrong with you having an opinion opposing mine. Okay? And if both of us have an opinion that opposes each other, and they are opposing each other, one of them can't be right. We can agree on that, can't we? So it's not, it could be me wrong or it could be you wrong, couldn't it? So anybody that's truly seeking for the truth is going to say, let's discuss this and find out which way is right.
What if they're both right?
Well, if they're opposing each other, they're probably not.
Or maybe they got part of it, each other.
It could be partial. But then again, we're still, when we see anything that don't agree and we open it to discussion, we've got a chance to come to the middle and meet and find out what the truth is.
Something's just not right.
We need to find out the fullness of it. Let's get a little deeper in it. But most people are afraid to take things that are our differences, instead of saying, let's build on what we know we agree on, they would rather make an issue out of something that really a lot of times is nothing, just splitting hairs, just so they can argue. Some people love to argue. Some people just love to argue. And an argument in the truest sense is nothing more than discussing things that are opposing opinions.
Well, it's not a productive argument.
No.
If it's,
it's a negative one all the way.
It's productive to find out the real truth.
Now, that's positive, and I agree. That's great. I love it. I love people to challenge me in my thinking, because if I'm wrong and they can show me I'm right, I'm wrong somewhere, then I'm going to gain more knowledge and understand more stuff.
Is that purifying?
Sure it is. And I appreciate it. I'm not offended by it. But a lot of people are really, when they're challenged, they're just a big time offended. So that tells you they really don't know what they say they believe.
That shows their intentions.
Their intentions is they just want to be right. They don't care about knowing the truth. Okay. Verse 18. Because they are that, they that are such, or he's saying the ones like that, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And that word belly is not correct. It's heart. They serve their own heart, or their own what?
Mind.
Their own thinking process. And through good works and fair speeches. Do you hear what he said? Through good works. He didn't say through evil works, did he? Huh? He said, through good works and their fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the what?
Simple and innocent.
The simple or the unsuspecting or the naive.
Okay. That's
what
the church
is. Well, there is a church. I'm much of a Jehovah's Witness. That's what I'll just say it. And I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but we've talked to people that were in the Jehovah's Witness, and they read the newspapers. They got people out checking all the time. Read the newspapers, and when they see somebody's name in a newspaper, that's what they told them, they trained them to do. They said, when they went through their classes, you look for people who have no church affiliation. They're vulnerable. And a point when a death is in the family, they read through the obituaries. And go to those people and offer them money, you know, provide food for them, do things for them, get them turned around so you can get them in the church.
And catch them at their lowest point.
When they're vulnerable, and take advantage of them. So, I mean, that's sad. But the other churches do the same things, don't they?
Remember when those two come up to my house, when I was at the low point?
Yep.
They brought them in, offered them water, and a little bit they wanted to leave.
That's right. Well, they was looking for someone that was ignorant, and they didn't find one. And then verse 19. Now that word simple right there comes from a word akakos, okay? And then this next verse, there's another word simple, but it's a different word. And they took two different words and made them both the same word, which that's what King James did all the time in the English translation. But anyway, like we said, the unsuspecting or the naive in verse 18. Now 19 says, because for your obedience is come abroad to all. The word men isn't there. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise to that which is good and simple concerning evil, or simple to evil. Now, here's what it should say. That word simple right there should say innocent. It comes from another word, not 172 akakos. It's 185 acre ahos or something like that. I can't pronounce the word. It should be innocent. You know, you should be innocent concerning or to evil. I don't see it in there. I didn't see it in there.
I'll look
at it. Okay. You got to realize if that's coming from a regular dictionary versus a...
Well, no, it's from the Strong's.
Okay, okay. I didn't see that, but...
Okay.
I didn't make note of it anyway, put it that way.
I wanted to be looking with the other one, too. I'll look at it.
Okay. Verse 20 says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan," or crush completely Satan, the accuser is what it should say, "under your feet shortly." Now, let's look at that thing, because that's not just what it's saying. It's not talking about God coming down and stepping on Satan and crushing this creature, is it? I mean, that's what the church sees. That's because the church has had that picture put in their head. But it says, "And the God of peace." How could he be a God of peace and then come and crush some creature and smash him? That's not peace, is it?
Peace in you.
No. He said, "But the God of peace that's in you shall completely crush Satan, the accuser," which is that carnal mind, "under your feet shortly." Under your feet, under what? It's your lifestyle. As you walk out this lifestyle, it destroys that carnal mind that's always accusing you, because you know who you are. Like we talked earlier today, Lord, you said, you know, you found out, hey, I got a shield, ain't I?
Yeah.
I got a shield. I don't have to worry about this stuff. I don't have to worry what anybody else threatens me with, because God said it's okay. See? When you come to that point, yet you know you're covered, you don't have to worry about anything else. That's when he's being crushed. See? That's when the Satan, the accuser of the brethren, or the false accuser of the brethren, has been crushed. "And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ," and we know what the word grace means, right? The divine influence in your mind, the heart of man or the mind of man, and an influence, a reflection of that into your lifestyle. So when you begin to walk that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it says, not the word "be" isn't there, where it says our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, the word "be" isn't there. But the word "with" is literally "meta," which means "in the midst." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of you. Amen. That's what it should say. When you're walking like that, guess what's in the midst of you?
The Christ.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in you.
Peace.
Yeah, everything. Everything is going right.
He's going before you and he's rear guard.
And he's in you.
Yeah. It's
you're covered.
It's cool.
You're just covered, man. Now, see, verse 25? 21. Ooh, I'm in another one. I saw something down below it and caught my mind. Timotheus, what's it mean? Dear to God. Timotheus, dear to God, my fellow worker, and Lucius, the light bearer, or the illuminative, and Jason, one who will heal, and Sosipater, the father of the father's savior, rather, my kinsman salutes you. I, Tertius, whatever it is, tortilla,
taco
man, yeah. His name means third. He's the third.
Yeah, that's what tertiary we use in a lot.
What?
Tertiary means third.
Yeah. Who wrote this epistle? Salutes you in the Lord. So that was the pen man for Paul's. All that was. And Gaius, which means Lord, my host, the Lord is our host, and the whole church, the called out, the ecclesia, salutes you. Erastus, which means beloved, the chamberlain or the steward of the city, salutes you. And Cordus, a brother, and Cordus means one fourth. Where we get our word quarter.
We're the third and fourth.
Yeah. And then verse 24 goes on and says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, cross out the word "it." The word "be" isn't really there. It's italicized anyway. But if you're going to put a word there, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of you all.
No, my Amplified, that whole verse is italicized.
Yeah. There's not another thing. There's something there, but... But look what it says. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. What does that make it sound like?
Like, you know, it's on the outside.
like you don't have it, and you might get it if you be real good, right?
Like he'll be with you if you do what you're supposed to.
But said the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that divine influence and reflection in your life and your mind, is what it should be, is in the midst of you all. Now, how much more helpful is that to someone to know it's not something I have to earn or something that might be external or maybe it's in? I don't know because it's not clear by the language. But when he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is in you. Amen.
Yeah. Takes away the doubt.
There's no more doubt. You can just absolutely say, hey, this is for real now. People just... they're so deceived. Like he said, what was it back up here? And what verse was it? The naive up there in 18? Or the 19? The naive? The naive ones? The simple ones?
The 18 is the naive. Simple.
Yeah, 18.
The smooth
words.
Huh? Simple-minded people.
Yeah, 18. The minds of the simple. Yep.
You see how subtle it is?
Sure it is. That doubt's in there so subtle, just twists people up, and they don't even hear it. They don't even see it. And
because they hold on to the negative more so than
because they know they can't be like Jesus, right? And then why does he say, you'll be like me when I appear, you'll be just like me now in this world?
Well, they're waiting for him to come back. Here.
Yeah, I know. They don't know what he's like anyway. Okay, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish, should be establish you according to my gospel. And only Paul said that. My gospel. You know why? Because he was part of it and he knew it.
It's of me.
It's of me. It's my gospel.
That's
right?
That's what it actually says in the book.
Yep.
It's of me.
Yep, it's of me. But to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. There's that mysterion. Mm-hmm. A revealing of a mystery to you in order to keep it a mystery. Okay? Which was kept secret since the world... and that's not really what it says. When it says the world began, it should say, which was kept secret since the age of time. Since time began. The age that time began. From the very beginning, it was kept secret. All of this, that Christ is in you. Not the hope of glory, but the glory.
The conception.
It's the beautiful thing. It's always been there. We were just not aware of it. It was veiled. But the veil has been ripped and from top to bottom. We can see it. That's right. From the very beginning. And verse 26, it says, but now is made manifest or apparent through the scriptures of the prophet. You can look at the prophets now, the scriptures, and read things and say, oh my God, it was there from the beginning. It's always been there, but we just couldn't see it. It was meant to be that way. According to the commandment of the age-abiding God, from age to age, the age-abiding God, made known to all, how many? All nations. Them nations is not certain nations, like it's all peoples. The word nations is all people. To the obedience of faith, or for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through the ages. Amen. Now I want to read something to you, a few verses to you in the Living Bible. Where'd it go? Where's my Living Bible? There it is. There. Let me read this and then we'll be done. Okay, verse 25, 26, and 27 is what I want to read to you in the Living Bible. Okay. I commit you to God, who is able to make you strong and steady in the Lord. Just as the gospel says, and just as I have told you, this is God's plan of salvation for you Gentiles, kept secret from the beginning of time. But now, as the prophets foretold and as God commands, this message is being preached everywhere so that people all around the world will have faith in Christ and obey Him. To God, who alone is wise, be the glory forever through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Said it perfectly. Sometimes that old Living Bible says things pretty good. Any questions, comments, or rocks to throw, we accept them all.